This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
And good afternoon, Rutherford County. It's going to be a beautiful day today, and I want to let you know that first part of this show is brought to you by Pirtle and Howerton Automotive, and they are at 2006 North Main Street in Shelbyville, and that's on the left going towards Shelbyville from Murfreesboro, and it's just before you get into the downtown area. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, that's the place to go. And give them a call before you leave. It's 1-800-264-6800, 1-800-264-6800, and pull up their website. It's PirtleHowerton.com. And after you get there, go in and talk to the nice people. Enjoy your stay there and look around, and you may find exactly what you're looking for, and I wouldn't be surprised. And it's kind of unique that we're talking about cars right now. And one of my best buddies in the whole world, Bud Mitchell. We kind of grew up together, and he has always been a Chevrolet man. And I have never known you to drive anything but a Chevrolet. And of course, your dad drove a Chevrolet also. But you worked on a lot of the sheriff's cars over the years, and I think you almost started going toward Ford. Is that not right?
Well, I hope nobody's listening, but you know, I just watched the Crown Vicks and the way they held up, and they're building a good car. And you know, I heard on the radio or television the other day, it's talking about GM still was going to cause the government to lose several $1 billion over that bailout, and I couldn't figure out why they couldn't really pay it back. And I think a lot of people have gone to the Fords because of even that happening. Now, Ford, in the last probably 4 or 5 years, has advanced as far as their technology on gas mileage and everything better than I think GM has. They're all doing a lot better, but people, I think, resent what happened, you know, as far as a bailout on a company such as GM. And it is hard to imagine that really happened.
It's hard to sit there and watch that with these big corporations being given bailout money when there's so many people suffering out there and having really a hard time getting by these days. And a lot of them have lost their jobs, and it's pretty hard to stomach when you see that.
Well,
and you know that's coming out of your pocket too.
Sure. I know it's like Fannie Mae, and there's one of the others. Mm-hmm. It's the big people that was talking about paying the executives into the millions of dollars. And I mean like $5 million per year, you know, for what they're doing. And here they are, you know, on the verge of collapsing, and the government has backed them with money, and they're doing that. And it's, you know, I can't figure out where they learned their economics. I know when we went to school.
They didn't learn it from Ms. Clark.
No. Well, you know, when we went to high school, we had to have 1 year math.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took the least amount of what I had to take, but we had 1 year arithmetic. And I remember Mr. Bandy, L.D. Bandy.
Yes.
And
had some of the prettiest daughters I've ever seen.
That's true.
He did.
And you know, he was really a good teacher, but he taught basic math. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that what we're looking at, a lot of things that happen, we need people to figure basic math instead of the way it's been figured. And I think that's part of our trouble. We've got away from basics, you know, and we're trying to figure out the lowest interest rate when we need to be paying learning to pay what we owe to, you know, get the thing straightened out. But, you know, everybody's got their own idea about that. But I think when you, the time you come up has a lot to do with the way you feel. And I've said this before that, you know, my folks come up during the Depression.
Right.
And, you know, the thing about it was that we were taught like we were still in the Depression. And time my daddy got through me, I thought I was. You know, I had to have my first car, I was graduated from high school, and I had to have every penny to pay for that car before I could buy one, and I bought it from Mr. Oscar Johns. And I've always thought a lot of Mr. Johns. He was a Chrysler dealer, but he sold me a Chevrolet. I had a 53 Chevrolet, and
course, and it was a Chevrolet.
Well, sure, but you know, going to school, and you probably remember it. I had a 39 Plymouth truck, and mm-hmm. it was my daddy's.
Mm-hmm. And you kept it running too.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, that's what I drove till I got out of high school and had enough money to buy a car. You know.
You know, that's one thing that they taught us in school was they taught us the basics, but they also taught us life skills, and part of that was integrity and treating everybody the way you wanted to be treated, and I can remember times were tough for all of us when we were young because it really hadn't busted loose, you know, like it did in about 15 or 20 years ago, and well, we didn't know any different, and I can still remember. I've told this story before, I think, on the radio. I remember when my mom apologized for me one Christmas because she bought me a radio, and she said, "Son, that's all that we can afford now. Yeah. We can't afford anything else." And I told her, I never will forget. I told her, I said, "Mom, I said that was exactly what I wanted. It wasn't, but I wanted her not to feel so bad because we just didn't have as much as some of the others." And I think that's part of it. And of course, it's not only learned in schools, but it's also learned in your own family.
Yeah.
And we were very fortunate to grow up in those types. And of course, you grew up in a family that had been in the store retail business, and you had grocery stores. And I think yours goes back a long way. But the thing about it is, your dad and your mom always treated everybody that came in that store like they were something special. And I have told many stories about your dad and about your mom and all the things they did for our family and all the other families that grew up on the Woodbury Road side of town. And even when we go back to things that were kind of, you know, something beyond what your really need was. I remember when TV started, and I told you about the time you may have been the one that went in and put the antenna on top of our house, but Glenn, what your dad was wanting to make sure that we had a TV to watch just like everybody else, although my dad said we can't afford to have a television. And as you remember, they were little bitty fellas too. I mean, they were, what was it, probably about a 12-inch screen or something like that. It couldn't have been more than that. But we had a television put in our house while we were gone, and you did that.
I think probably it'd been around 51 or somewhere right mm-hmm. in there. But,
yeah.
You know, in 1947, Daddy carried us. We every year we would take a trip. And my daddy act like he wanted to spend the night at home the way we'd go through the states. But the time I was 12 years old, I had been to all 48 states, which it was 48 then. But I remember going to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
We went up on the Empire State Building, and going in there in the bottom, I don't know where it was, a bar or what, but that's the first time I've ever saw a TV, and it was a round, little about a 12-inch screen,
mm-hmm.
and I was amazed that when I walked by, it was up on a shelf, and I looked at it, and that's the first time I'd seen one. But we went on up on the Empire State Building. At that time, you could just lean out over the edge of it, and well, I just leaned out and looked at it. You know, the cars looked like ants, and then they had to put a screen up there and bars to keep people from jumping off. And I wouldn't have jumped, but if my mama knew where I was going to act sometimes, I guess she'd push me off. But anyway, you know, it's kind of funny how things change so much. They didn't used to have to worry about people jumping off you know, like the Empire State Building.
No.
And you know, I just thinking all these things, we've seen a lot of changes, but, you know, I would talk to my grandmother, and I lived with her, she lived right behind the old store, and
mm-hmm.
Mom and Dad lived right out on Woodbury Road there, right beside the store, too. But
she was a sweet lady, too.
Yeah, but anyway, she would tell me about things, you know, that happened, and she was born in 1887, and so, mm-hmm. you know, she's probably seen more changes than us, in a sense.
Oh, yeah.
But even I remember, you know, like, you know, you get any kind of cream or salve, anything. She made her own salve. Now, I remember she used sulfur and she used mineral oil, and there was two or three other things that she would mix together on a salve, like for cuts and stuff, you know. And we remembered having kerosene, coal oil, we called
mm-hmm,
it coal oil.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have about a 100-gallon tank you would pump
remember
out
it well.
At
yeah.
the store.
Yeah.
And anytime I get cut food with them bottles, I'd go stick my hand in the in the coal oil barrel, and sometimes it nearly get red, you know, where you'd be cut pretty good. But I remember sticking, you probably remember this too, you'd stick a nail in your foot, because half the time we wouldn't be wearing shoes, especially in the summer. And we'd stick a nail or something in our foot, and you'd take coal oil and put on it. And everybody said, you know, well, that'll kill you. But you could put it on there, and your foot wouldn't even hardly be sore the next day. And if you didn't, you couldn't even walk on it. So it's been a lot of changes, but there's a lot of remedies and a lot of things that we learned, you know, that I learned that maybe a lot of them don't know now. But anyway, we learned a lot, I guess what you'd say the hard way, but they was raised up, you know, people was raised up a lot harder than they are now.
Well, people, everything was more personal back then. If wherever you went to buy things that you needed, you knew the person that was the owner, and you had a relationship with them. And maybe if times had gotten harder and the monies hadn't come in the way you thought it would, and you got behind a little bit, a person could go to your dad or, say, Buddy Brown in Las Casas, and some of the owners that were around the square at that time, and they had a little book, and they would write down how much it costs for you to take care of those things. And if you didn't have the money, then they would give you time to pay it, and sometimes it would take over a month or 2 months. And knowing your dad and knowing Buddy Brown, they may never have paid that. But it was all about caring for people. And they knew what kind of shape, say, my dad would be in or somebody else, and maybe the money was not enough to take care of you for that one particular month, and you would have to hold back. I mean, you didn't go into deep debt back then. You stayed pretty close to what, I mean, you were accountable for your debts, and you did not want to go in, because we were taught that you needed to be able to stand on your own two feet and take care of things. And now people are so stressed out because they're buying so many things that they don't need, and they're trying to keep up with the Joneses, or probably more like the Mitchells than the Joneses, but yeah. They're trying to take care of all those things, and then they get in debt, and then they have all these phone calls, and they're talking to a computer and all that other stuff. And to be perfectly honest with you, I don't feel as comfortable in today's world as I did when we were younger.
Well, I was thinking about when you was talking about that, you know, like credit cards. Mm-hmm. We'd always taken credit cards, you know, like at the store, and especially where you saw credit cards used was gasoline, or mm-hmm. you know, and if you seen a man pull up that had a Amoco credit card or Pure credit card, mm-hmm. that man, you could say that he'd nearly walk on water, you know. He was really good for it. Then I got to see where, well, more people got them, you know, and I got to see people that wouldn't even pay their debts. You knew they didn't pay the debts, they got mm-hmm. them, and you knew that something bad was going to happen as far as credit cards. So, you know, a lot of times the credit card people have caused their own trouble by giving credit to people that really couldn't you know, have the credit. And what I think probably
it's almost like it seems like it's done on purpose.
Yeah. See, what I think it probably is that they couldn't handle, they could buy, but they wouldn't think about the paying end of it. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we were taught. Don't ever buy anything you can't pay for. And, you know, I'm talking about a reasonable amount mm-hmm. of time. You know, you never got your expenses more than you were making. And I think that today is what we don't see, this the economics part is where they don't see that as much, you know.
Well, you and I have seen a time where it was very much acceptable to live in a small house, and you didn't need to have four or five rooms that you never went in, and those type things. But then it seemed like in the last 10, 15 years, all these huge houses have popped up. And if you look around, those are the houses you can't sell right now.
Well, I know. Well, they had an auction last week on some property, and they was asking $300,000 for it. And and I think it's coming back to where, what is it really bringing its true value? Mm-hmm. Maybe they got them hoping to get $200,000 for it, and it brought $140,000. Well, we were talking about this to somebody, and they said, well, really what's happened, probably it's going back to its true value, mm-hmm. you know, and I think a lot of things are going back to its true value, and it's kind of equalizing itself out, you know.
Well, you and I have been through a time where if you own land and you owned a nice house, that was going to be your investment for your future. And I can remember it just like it was yesterday. People were going around and saying, well, the best value that you can ever buy is land, because there's just only so much of it and it'll eventually run out. And it didn't seem like that held true very long, did it?
That's true. But anyway, it's still a good investment, but it wasn't at the prices no. it was bringing, what, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, you right. know. You're in trouble if you bought it at that price.
Well, one of the reasons I think, Bud, that you have been so successful is that you've always carried those values as long as you've been in business. And I can remember, of course, very well when your dad was running the place. And it was awful funny. When your dad, of course, everybody gets stressed out when they're running a business and they have a whole lot going on. And your dad was one of those people, when he got a little bit stressed out, he jumped in that Chevrolet. And when you were talking about being in every 48 states, I'll bet you he's been in every one of them 3 or 4 times, because I can remember him calling my dad and say, Truman, let's go to Arizona today.
Yeah.
And my dad would say, what? And he said, yeah, let's go to Arizona. And he said, well, I can't go. You know, he's a bus driver at that time. He'd drive all the way to Arizona, your dad would, spend the night, and then come back. Yeah. I have never seen anything like it. He loved traveling more than anybody I've ever seen. That was his outlet.
Yeah, we've been to a lot of places, but we went through quick, and there's a story about Kitty Hawk. He liked to go out to Kitty
North
Hawk.
North Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah, and you had to, at that time, you had to catch a ferry, and you couldn't even see the island from the land there. Mm-hmm. And we got over there, and they said something about a storm coming up, and but we got the last ferry back, but I believe my daddy would have died if he had stayed on that island. And one night, my wife and sister and brother-in-law, we stayed on that island when they had a storm. And it was a storm, but daddy had fear of that. And there's another, we were over in, come through Texas, been hot all day. You know, it's in, I guess it was probably in the early 50s. And we got over to Louisiana, and it's mm-hmm. where you see all the oil rigs, and they're burning that excess mm-hmm. off, you know. And it was hot all day. We'd had the windows down, you know, probably 100 degrees coming across there, maybe even better. And we stopped at a place, and it had cool rooms. And it was the first time we'd ever seen air conditioning.
Hmm.
And Judy and I, we said, well, you know, Daddy, let's stop here and see. Well, Daddy stopped, and you always went in the rooms, you know. When you rented mm-hmm. a room, you didn't just go up. You said, let's see the room, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody went to see the room. Well, Judy and I went with Daddy to see the room, and they opened the door, and it was just like a walk-in cooler or freezer. And my daddy said, well, I wouldn't stay in there if they gave me this room. And, you know, it's the coolness scared him. Mm-hmm. It was so hot. You know, we wanted to stay so bad. But, you know, you learned a lot and seen a lot of changes. We were lucky to be able to travel the way we did, you know.
It was hard to adapt to the new things, like yeah. air conditioning and yeah. things like that. I don't remember your store ever being hot, and you didn't have air conditioning.
No, you always had the big window fans, you
right?
know, the ones that go in the windows and pull the cool air through. And at night, we did the same thing with homes, you know.
Yeah.
I can remember having to pull your bed over around to the window to mm-hmm. stay cool, you know, where it'd be so hot at night.
Don't ever remember being sick.
Yeah. You know, I went to, I've been to Africa 3 times, to Nigeria on a mission work over there, and where I stayed, they didn't have the electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a nice place for us, you know, that part of the world. But I remember laying in bed at night, and I said, man, I wish it would get daylight, because it'd be so hot, you know, mm-hmm. just lay there and sweat, you know. And I think about when I was little, you know, but it didn't seem that hot back when I was little. But I guess I got used to the, you know, the cooler air conditioning
and
whatever.
You had that pot-bellied stove in
the
store.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember that was the most comfortable feeling. If it's real cold outside, you go in that store and you would have the fire going yeah. in there. Man, that thing was comfortable. And all the people in the community would gather around it. You would have either chairs or Coca-Cola crates or something sitting up that yeah. they could sit on and just enjoy each other's company. And it was, of course, that was before television and all the other entertainment things. And to me, boy, I said, man, I'd love to go back to that again.
Yeah. Well, you know, so you get you education out behind the barn.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them we got ours around the potbelly stove, you know, for what went on.
I can remember you getting a couple of educations from your dad right there at the store.
More than one, you know.
You know, you were telling me that you were going to bring a guest with you today. And I was sitting here waiting on her to show up, and she didn't come. What happened?
Well, I thought I had her fooled into coming, and I thought I had her, but it's Miss Nancy McNair.
Uh-huh.
And she just reels down there right below us, which that's your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I told her, I said, I called her about 11, and I thought, man, I will work this in there. And mm-hmm. she had to go somewhere. She said, well, I'll be back by 12 or something. And I said, well, I got somewhere I want you to go with me. And about 15 to 2, I'll pick you up. So I went down to pick her up, and she come out the door, and she said, I figured this out. And she backed out.
She's a whole lot smarter than I am, yeah. I can tell you that. And what I can't understand about her, and you and I know, she was one of the best educators ever in Rutherford County.
Yes. Yeah.
And she loved to teach the people, and she loved to tell the stories, and still does, about all the families that she's known over the years, and even goes back to probably in the mid-1800s of the history of that's happening here. And she knows a lot of it firsthand. And I'll guarantee you, every student that she's had over the years, she could call them by name when she runs into it. One of the very few people that I know that still has that total recall. And why we can't get her on here, because it would be such a special thing for everybody to be able to listen to her and communicate about all the interesting things that have happened here.
Well, I was really hoping that she would come because of her knowing all the history. And this is one good thing about, I think, your program, is that I've learned a lot about Rutherford County and this area that I didn't know. And then you'd hear it and you'd put things together and realize, mm-hmm. you know, how you would tie things together. But a lot of history has been over this program, you have a lot of history's been learned, and you know, I told them I wasn't too good in maybe anything at school, but I did love history, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that's, and I still love history. I like to hear people tell things, you know, and one of the smartest people as far as his memory was Jimmy Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy would remember everything down to the detail when we were boys. And when he got sick, I'll go see him every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and visit him every Sunday. And he would talk about things that happened like when we were, 10, 12, 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd already forgot them. But when he brought it back, you know, and Jimmy was a brilliant mind, you know, and I talked to Jimmy a lot. And Jimmy was a good boy. He just was his worst enemy. But he knew this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I always was amazed at the way he could remember things, you know.
That's why it's important to have people like you on, and you have such a way of relating and explaining those things that happened that you were familiar with. And we try to have as many people on from different segments of the community, because every story is so interesting, and the characters. And, you know, Greg Tucker is really, really good about doing research and finding out what's happening, and he used people like yourself and other people to gain a lot of his knowledge, and a lot of it is by word of mouth. And this is something that we're really losing, because I can remember stories from my grandmother and granddad and my parents as it's been passed on, and just like you. But I'm afraid that's going to be a lost art, and it's going to be a lot of people that are going to be forgotten that shouldn't be forgotten. And that's one thing that we need to focus on. And we haven't done a very good job at that, I don't think.
Well, you know, I think you learn things by the simple people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always fortunate to have diverse people coming in the store. And some of the best friends I've ever had are some older black people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a man that lived up the road. He was Larkin Beatty.
Mm-hmm.
And
remember,
he used to dig septic lines and septic tanks. And back then, you know, you'd hand dig them and mm-hmm. do them with concrete blocks. And Larkin was a hard worker. And you know, I would sit down and talk to him a lot, you know, and he liked to tell his mm-hmm. stories. And I always thought about Larkin was telling one time about I said something about being married, and he said, well, I've been married three times. I said, Larkin, been married 3 times. He said, yeah. He said, it's kind of like putting on shoes. He said, you know, you got to make them fit. Mm-hmm. And he said it took the third pair to make it fit. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so funny. You know, I always remembered him telling that story, you know. But a lot of things I learned, you know, was things like that. And you think about people, you know, that have gone on. And, you know, I've known a lot of good people. Brother Ray Arnold. Mm-hmm. Ray, a lot of people knew Ray.
Great guy.
From Murfreesboro. Mm-hmm. He worked for Ellis Gray for years, mm-hmm. you know. And he lived out our way. Went to church with him. And
he worked at the co-op some, too, didn't he?
Yes. When Ellis Gray went out, he mm-hmm. worked. And I believe at one time he might have worked for a fight, you know, where he had the Purina.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this was right here past the radio station, you know, what we used to be before it got tore out, you know.
Right.
And Murfreesboro changed a lot when Broad Street came through. And I remember that because I was born at Barfield, and we would come through. They used to call it the bottom. Mm-hmm. We'd come through the bottom, you know, mm-hmm. but all your businesses were over in that part of town, you
right.
know. So, you know, we went through every bit of it, you know. And so we saw a lot of changes even there because of being here every day, you know.
You remember Wynn Jones?
Wendy?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Lived on Double Springs Road.
Yeah, Wendy,
wife, Miss Georgia.
Wendy had some of the stories that I remember,
He
too.
Had some of the best stories of anybody.
Yeah.
He knew more about my family than I did
yeah.
at one time because he was about the same age as my dad.
Yeah.
And he grew up working uh-huh. with my granddaddy and my dad and all of them. And some of the stories he would tell,
yeah.
You'd have to pick yourself off of the floor after yeah. you got through listening
well,
to him.
You know,
some of them I can't relate to.
Yeah. Well, you know, he had Georgia May with his wife.
Yes.
And he would come over to the store, you know, and talk. And, you know, some of the finest people I've ever known was people like Wendy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fellow that lived on Upper Road, Oscar Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Black fellow lived on Upper Road. And James Butler was his son. James still living. James is old up in his 80s mm-hmm. now. But just the finest people you ever. And, you know, that's the kind of people we had. Pete Clark, George Clark's mm-hmm. daddy. All of them lived right up above us there, and just you know, we just had the finest community, where it be black or white or whatever
yeah.
that you ever run into. And you know,
you didn't make any difference.
The people that came in the store, that's one thing I was looking on. I could see people coming in, and they were nice. You know, I don't care what you thought or what a lot of people thought. They were nice people. They was just like each other, and mm-hmm. that's one thing that I learned too. I started out going mission work in the Caribbean for about 20 years. We'd go down maybe 2 weeks every summer and work different islands.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people there were black people, you mm-hmm. know. And I learned that I was a minority down there, and they treated me just as one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you would run in some that didn't. But I learned a lot by that right there, you know, because if you're a minority, a lot of times you're not treated right.
Mm-hmm.
But I was treated good, you know, and even going to Africa, you know, the people always treated me real good. And that helped me in seeing a lot of things different to what a lot of people look at, you know. So I think it's important when people learn lessons like that in life, it can make us a lot better person, you know,
I think that's one thing that I don't think that we had a whole lot of problems with that growing up because we were taught to how we were supposed to treat everybody.
That's right.
And that's one thing that we learned in school is, you know, some of the people would not have as much money and they would be having hard times, but we were taught from the very first day that you treated everybody with respect, and that's carried on. And I want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care. And they're at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And you can reach them at 713-4639 or check them out on the website at www.athomecaretennessee.com. And what they do when you're no longer able to take care of your home chores and you're feeling like that you may have to leave home, don't leave home. Give these people a call. They'll come in 24/7, take care of all those, and even run errands for you and make sure that you still are able to maintain your quality of life. Hey, hon.
Slick Pig Barbecue. Down on East Main, there's pork, beef, chicken, and wings. Sauce too good to be true.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the Catfish Special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw.
Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
Looking for better handling as winter approaches? Stop by Bud's Tire Pros. Now through November 28th, you'll receive a $70 MasterCard prepaid card after a mail-in rebate when you buy any set of four new Michelin brand passenger or light truck tires. Get the safe grip you need this winter. Visit Bud's Tire Pros in Murfreesboro or online at budstireprostn.com. Mail-in rebate required. See redemption form at participating dealers for complete details. Offer expires 11/28/11. Void or prohibited. The card is issued by Citi pursuant to a license from MasterCard.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
The Kittrell Volunteer Fire Department has a big country ham breakfast Saturday morning from 6 to 10. And that's over at the Kittrell Volunteer Fire Department, 8067, the Old Woodbury Highway. And tonight and tomorrow night over at the Art Center of Cannon County, it's Irving Berlin's musical, Annie, Get Your Gun. Last two nights, 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night. That's at the Art Center of Cannon County, 1424 John Bragg Highway in neighboring Woodbury. And the Journey Home Outreach Center is sponsoring a pancake breakfast tomorrow morning from 7 until 10. The proceeds support this homeless ministry, especially important during the cold season. And during the pancake breakfast, you can learn more about the services being offered by The Journey Home. Tickets are $5 for adults and $3 for children under age 12. And by the way, we'll be doing our Thanksgiving morning Action Line broadcast live from The Journey Home. The 30th annual Salute to the Armed Forces football game tomorrow over at the Johnny Red Floyd Stadium. The kickoff for the Blue Raiders versus Arkansas State game, 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon. At 6 o'clock Saturday night, it's the International Championship Performance Walking Horse Show. That's over at the Tennessee Miller Coliseum. And the proceeds benefit Candle Wishes. It's sponsored by the Walking Horse Owners Association. At 6 o'clock tomorrow night, over at the Tennessee Miller Coliseum. Now's the time to sign up for the Bicentennial Christmas Parade. In fact, you need to do it quickly. The deadline is Wednesday, November 30th. And for a Friday, those are Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
Lots of sunshine throughout the afternoon, high in the upper 50s. Tonight, mainly clear, low near 35. Sunny on Saturday, high of 62. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now it's 55.
It's turkey time, and Kirk and Birch is the borough's turkey expert. Deep fried or hickory smoked, Kirk and Birch is who you call. We'll make you the hero on Thanksgiving. Reserve yours today. Kirk and Birch, 893-3663.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS AM and FM.
And today's guest, Mr. Bud Mitchell.
And also Allison, who is his daughter, and she is a chip off the old block. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, but I want to let you know, first of all, that this portion of the show is brought to you by Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. They have something for everyone on their menu, from steaks, fresh seafood, pastas, salads, appetizers, and special items unique to Blue. They have six items for lunch at just $6. Enjoy their Sunday live brunch beginning at 10 a.m. with music from Larry Pinkerton and Avant Lane. Whether it's enjoying the courtyard at dinner, the game on the big screen TVs, or piano music Friday and Saturday evenings, there's something for everyone at Blue. Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. Be sure to visit their website at blue-restaurant.com. That's Blue Restaurant and Bar, owners Marty Brown and Greg Pogue. Allison, it's good to have you here today.
I always thought you said that stuff from memory, but
I do. Quit giving away my trade secrets. People used to think I was smart. Now they know I'm not.
I thought, man, he says a lot from memory. I'm proud of him.
You know, I still remember a little incident. Now, your dad is known as driving NASCAR speed no matter where he goes. And it doesn't matter where he's going, frontwards or backwards in reverse. He's always does that. And I was at the shop one day, and I was talking to somebody, and this, I believe it was a Monte Carlo. I believe that's what it was. And it came roaring through the parking lot, squealing four tires all over the place, sideways. And I said, what in the world is going on here? Because I know Bud's inside, so it wasn't him. And I looked, and it's you. What happened? Did you inherit all of his good traits?
The throttle may have been stuck.
I bet that's what it was.
Well, you know what happened when she was 10 years old, and that's when we started with the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
She'd get up and go to the fire with me nearly anywhere we had it, you know,
yeah,
in the middle of the night. And I reckon that's one thing that it did. We would have the truck pull out of Kittrell and then go to the fire, which I would take my vehicle, you know, mm-hmm, and go my own personal vehicle. And then we moved, I believe it was around, 2000, we moved trucks down to at Bud's Tire. But I think part of that was where she was learned that was where we were going to the fires, you know. And another thing that I want to say, the reason Allison is here, Miss Nancy backed out on me and coming down East Main Street, coming to down here, I called Allison. I said, Allison, you got to come, because somebody told me that says, you know, after about 15 minutes, says you don't know enough, but you don't even know what to say. So, you know, they thought 15 minutes would get me. So that's the reason I had asked Allison to come and kind of fill in, you know.
You misjudge yourself, because you never know when to shut up.
I'm not near a replacement for Miss Nancy. I really wish she would.
Well, nobody can replace Miss Nancy, but nobody can replace you either, Allison.
Well,
and you've grown up in a very special family, and the business are still right there in that same spot they have been for the last, 60-something years, maybe.
We moved out there in 46.
So that's well over 60 years,
yeah.
65 years ago, yeah. Almost 66. And I've known your family. And you, I wasn't being overly, correct when I was saying that you're a chip off of the old block. But you've got a lot of your dad's tendencies and traits. And you grew up in the family of that store, in a business, which I think is one of the best ways that you can actually spend a lot of your childhood and in the learning process. But you do actually two things. You take care of the store as well as anybody. In fact, you can do some of the things with my car that nobody else can do. But you decided you wanted to get into the medical business also.
Right. Like you said, when I was 10 or 11, whenever it started, you know, I started going to fires and mm-hmm. started helping people. And I think at 18 or 19, I'm not sure, I started driving the truck
mm-hmm.
and running the pump and all that. And, you know, I knew I didn't want to be a career firefighter. It gets in your blood, and it's
adrenaline
addictive rush,
yes.
for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my mom got hit by a car in front of the shop. She was walking home from the shop, and a car rear-ended another one, and the car that did the rear-ending swung around and hit her. Mm-hmm. I was on my four-wheeler driving across the street, and I saw it happen. Well, you know, the ambulance came out, paramedics came, took my mom away, and they saved her life. Knowing what I know now, you know, she wasn't hurt. She wasn't really hurt. But in mm-hmm. my mind, they saved her life, and I pretty much knew. When I graduated high school, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to EMT school. But I went ahead and went to college and took about 6.5 years to get a degree, and then I got done with that, and I went to EMT school and got on with the county and went to paramedic school. So mm-hmm. It's something to help people going from the fire when, you know, people are at their worst and they've lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you go, you know, to someone that you can help save their life. That's something. And then you deal with the death and, you know, people lose everything. And it's rewarding.
I'm looking at your future. I have selfish reasons for you to staying at the store, because I like to see it stay in the Mitchell family and all that.
You know, but
I know that's going to be a tough decision for you one day.
I think about that more and more every day. You know, I grew up in the grocery store.
Right.
And seeing the people that come in and out and, you know, talking to them. And they're like, it's like a big family. You
right.
were at my wedding
yes.
reception party. And there was...
And enjoyed it.
You know, and there were so many people
right.
there. And that you see people like this. I see them two places. Mm-hmm. I see them, or three, really. I see them at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
I see them at church
mm-hmm.
and at funeral homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hate to... I really do hate to leave that. And the older I get, the more I think, you know...
That sounds like your dad, because he didn't want to be there either. Remember that? He had a time where he was ready to wash his hands of the store and do something else.
Well,
I remember that well.
I get that. He played many hats. You know,
yeah.
wore many hats at the grocery store. I remember helping him wrap meat, where he'd cut the meat and in the meat
which was his favorite thing to do.
pump gas and hardware. I remember every. I believe it was it Tuesday and Friday was stock days?
Yeah.
I remember marking stuff, you know, when you had to mark everything mm-hmm. with the sticker marker, the mm-hmm. Ink marker, you know, and that was, it was a good environment to grow up in. And then I started at 15 helping at the tire store.
Yeah.
And, you know, it.
And you're an expert at it. I mean, you're as good as anybody as I've ever seen. And you've got that way of dealing with people. There's one thing I was going to ask you. Why you still deal with the fire department, right? You still mm-hmm. do some of that stuff mm-hmm. and drive. Why did y'all let James drive that fire truck?
We might ought to stop this conversation.
Let's just say neither one of us were there.
Yeah, bless his heart. You know, sometimes just trouble follows some people.
You know, that
it?
Actually happened. That happened on Dad's 70th birthday. And we were in Talladega, and I told they sent me a text with the picture of it. The first time that was the first wreck, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I said, "Don't tell him. It's his birthday."
I hope he's listening today.
Well, you know, the Lord looks after us, and I told him, "Well, I wasn't there. You know, I couldn't say nothing, and it's best. You know, something like it when it happens in an accident.
Yeah.
You can't say that, but so you still think it. You know, I said." You know, but anyway, it's just one of them things that happens, you know. Yeah. And
nobody was hurt.
Nobody's hurt.
Because there was either four or six of them in there. There's four of them in there, you know, and that was the good thing. That
you have to be a special driver to drive a fire truck, especially when that thing is full of water.
Yeah, that's very dangerous.
Yeah.
People don't realize the safety factor there, even stopping or going around the corner, you know. A boy got killed at Amityville. You probably remember
right,
10 years ago.
I do.
He wasn't used to it and went around the corner and it just flipped over, you know. So it's very dangerous too. And you got to drive it. You know, the thing about a fire department is getting there quick, you know,
mm-hmm.
getting there and getting to the fire, but you got to get there.
Right.
You know, and you got to put that factor in there that no matter if you, you know, how fast you drive, if you don't get there, you know, it's not any good. And
that's the same thing we say at the ambulance service.
Yes.
You know, I work with people that I'm not used to working with, and they drive, you know, I drive fast, you know, but they drive ridiculous. And it's, you know, you have and these new people, they're gung-ho, and they, you know, and I tell them,
and you're talking about a rush. When you put that siren
right,
on,
right.
there you go.
We can't help anybody unless we get there, you know, and we've got to be, you know, we have to be concerned with the other people out there.
I had to do CPR and give mouth-to-mouth to a person who was dying of a heart attack in the back of one of those ambulances on the way to the hospital. And I don't know how many times I ended up with mashed up against the side of that ambulance when they would take a turn. It's almost impossible to be able to operate securely in that thing.
You learn how to surf, and you learn where to hold on to, and then you fall too, you know.
You have a feeling of really doing something special when you're helping people like that. It runs the gamut of emotions, because you have a high because you're helping somebody, but then when it doesn't work out, then there you go in a state of almost depression sometimes.
Right, and there's certain things that get to you. You know, where someone that died that had terminal cancer, mm-hmm. you know, might not. And I say it doesn't bother me. You have to. not let things, not personalize things. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, there's a mother that loses her 17-year-old son in a wreck that was truly an accident, and you know that gets to me. There's certain things that get to you, and you have to block things out to a certain extent, but we're still human.
You were in the hospital room when my mom was dying, and you came in to kind of just say bye to her, and you got very emotional in that. Of course, how can you not?
I was saying the other day, I miss Miss Ruby. She always came in the shop. She had a smile on her face, her little red Cadillac.
You know, she actually worked the cash register some at the old store, because when Glenn or Alice were not there and they had to go somewhere, they would call Mom a lot of times, and she would go up and work the cash register and just enjoyed it, of course, because she was like y'all. She loved meeting people.
That was a Caffey in her too.
I
think about the stories. Miss Effie Caffey was married to Mr. Herschel Caffey, which was part of your kinfolks. Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Herschel was pretty bad to drink, and Miss Caffey was the most religious lady that I've ever known. And I remember 2 weeks before she died, she called me wanting a tape on a certain subject to help someone to become a Christian in a nursing home. She was in a nursing home at Woodbury. Well, she had sent word to me with some information for that particular whatever she was trying to do. But Mr. Herschel was bad to drink. And I got a 40 Chevrolet from them that they bought new, because he wrecked it. He run a stop sign here in Murfreesboro. He was drinking, and the car run inside it. Well, I fixed it, and Kay drove that car to the telephone office when we first got married. It was a 40 Chevrolet, and I put a 56 six-cylinder in it, which it looked the same. But anyway, I had a McClanahan used to do Chevrolets years ago, and he helped me. But anyway, Miss Caffey, Mr. Herschel came in, and he'd been drinking pretty heavy, and he fell on the floor, and he was in bad shape, and Miss Caffey said, "Lord, says, please be with this my husband, this drunkard." And he said, he raised up and said, "Don't tell him I'm drunk, tell him I'm sick." And I've always remembered that, they would tell that and everybody just laughed, but it's still funny, and Mr. Herschel was a fine fella, but it was kind of funny how the two, just they didn't look like they'd be together, but they were really fine people. But the Caffeys was always up people, always going on with something,
And now Carmack worked with you guys for a while.
Yeah, he cut with me several years there at the store,
Now his wife Judy just died. Yes. She's almost 100 years old. And of course we lost Miss Judy Caffey, and of course we lost Miss Cates, and those are the type of people you just can't replace. They're a strong part of our history. And we want to let you know, should I do this commercial or not? Stan McNabb, Miss Nancy, my Aunt Nancy did not show up today.
Well, she'll show up later, so go ahead and do it.
Okay. Let's not punish her first.
We won't punish Stan for what she did
or
didn't do. All right. And this part of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive. And, of course, that's Aunt Nancy's son. And he provides quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford. Did you hear that? Ford. And Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And only at Stan McNabb's, Allison, can you believe this, you get free oil changes. I don't know if they get them there at the dealership or over at your place. And free tires for the life of that vehicle. Has he got a deal with you, bud?
No, we're going to have to kind of cut some of this off. You can be too good, can't you?
Yeah. All right.
We make important choices in our lives every day. You owe it to yourself to make an informed decision about where to receive cancer treatment. The Cancer Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center offers the area's only accredited program. That means it meets the high standards set by the Commission on Cancer. we consider it a blessing to provide you with the very best care available. To locate an MTMC physician, call 284-LIFE. Why choose any place else?
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
And we want to let you know that we got a couple of things coming up. On Saturday, December the 3rd, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Mo Brown Black is having a craft fair at Last Cash's at the store. And they're having open house at Last Cash's Drugs, Last Cash's Eye Care, Valley Growers, and 15 vendors at Brown Store. Get in the holiday spirit. Come out and support your community. And go in and say hi to Mo for us. I'll probably be able to get over there. But more current, we're having, and couldn't be more timely, we're having a breakfast at Kittrell for the Volunteer Fire Department.
Yeah, in the morning. Start at 6, go to 10.
What time do you get there?
4, just a little after. Somewhere right in there.
I don't know where in the world you find time to do all the things that you do. I mean, being with the Volunteer Fire Department is almost like a full-time job, and you actually house the fire truck right there at your store. At the tire place.
We'll be working there at the store, and you know, it's kind of like, well, I get a break, I'm gonna get to go to fire. it's at least it's different, you know. So
a lot of people think that the fire departments get a lot of money that's given to them for running their operations, and of course those are expensive operations, and I know if nothing but the fire insurance alone, the liability insurance is extremely high. But you guys work hard and do the best job of anybody I've ever seen. When you put on your breakfasts and things like that, it's really a community event, and people come from all over Rutherford County and even outside the county. I've seen a lot of them. They hear that you're going to have a breakfast because you do such a great job. I mean, you make people feel at home, but the food is just absolutely out of this world. And one of the things that I really appreciate is you bring in that country sausage. Man.
It's good.
It's out of this world.
And you know, we got several different ones, but Kathy Brandon does the gravy. And I told him, I said, you know, Kay does such a good job with doing the gravy. And Kathy, both of them country girls, so they do a really good job. And, you know, it's just really great, but with the ham and the gravy and the biscuits and stuff, I just can't beat it. And I cooked the eggs, but I wasn't going to brag on them, but I think they're good.
That's the only thing I don't like is the eggs. All right, we have a caller on board. Caller, welcome aboard with Bud and Allison.
Good afternoon, Truman and Bud and Allison. Hope everybody is doing well today on a beautiful Friday afternoon.
We are, and that's the other Butch, Bud.
Yeah.
That's the other Butch.
I just want to say, Truman, I want to give a hearty thanks to Bud Mitchell and Kay and Allison and their families for the years of service and dedication that they have provided not only to the Kittrell community but also to most all of Rutherford County. They are certainly well-respected and well-thought-of and honest and good people, and we need more just like them.
You're exactly right, Butch, and that's quite a compliment coming from somebody like you, because that it really means a lot that way.
Well, thank you. I think a lot of them too.
I appreciate it, big boy. Of course, everybody knows that's Butch Gamble.
I was having trouble with my earphones here. You know, they got a sweat in my head, sweating. You know. It's kind of like
it seemed to be expanding.
Yeah, it would be like Kay. I told Kay, I said, you know, if something happens to me, I said, you're going to get married again? And she said, no, sir. And boy, I mean, I was feeling good, you know, and caught my, like, my head a swelling in, you mm-hmm. know. And then she said, with my luck, I'd get a nudding just like you.
Bless her heart. Now, what time can people be at the at Kittrell in the morning at the old school grounds?
6 o'clock.
Six o'clock to 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And you can get there either going by the old Woodbury Road, or you can go John Bragg, which is faster. But I still like going the old highway yeah. because I like to recap my old memories when I go through there. It's a lot of fun.
Well, the new road really helped us, you know. But anyway, I travel the old road most of the time. But unless I'm going to Woodbury, I'll, you know, get out on the new road. But
it's not only great food. It's great being around people that you absolutely enjoy being with. But it's also a fundraiser.
Yeah.
I mean, without that, you guys couldn't operate. I mean, it's just so costly.
Yeah.
And but I for one, really appreciate what you do. And it's not just being with the fire department and things like that. It goes well beyond that. And I am so glad that Allison is finally committing that she's going to stay right there at the business as she gets older like us,
and one of these days,
Allison, you'll be here on the radio 30 or 40 years from now when Bud and I have long gone, and you will be sitting there being appreciated just like your dad and your mom.
Well, that'll be saying something. I got some big shoes to fill for sure.
You really do,
for sure.
You can do it. All right, we're going to be gone this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, but we will be back Monday at 2 o'clock, and I wish you all a great weekend, and I'll see you at Kittrell in the morning. Around 8 o'clock is when I'll get there, and we'll have a good time.